There have been shocking statistics published recently about the levels of violence in school towards teachers, the verbal abuse, and the number of teachers who want to leave. That is tragic. But alongside that, there's a bit of a danger that we are blaming the children. And in this podcast, I want to dig a bit deeper to think about what might be happening, because children are not born bad, and there's no more bad children in the world, but they are struggling. And the fit between a child's needs and what the school is offering is clearly not working very well. It's not a smooth and comfortable and growthful place for some children. What we know is that children are just needing safety and security. When a child is born, the first thing they do is gaze into their mother's eyes. They look for safety in their caregivers. This might be a mother or a father, or they might be in another setting. But that ability for people to read their needs and provide comfort builds in that very vulnerable infant. No other animal is as vulnerable as the human infant. Their levels of dependency are massive. And that means that when a child gazes into the face of somebody who looks at them with disregard or the disrespect or disinterest, even worse, that's very damaging to that sense of a child that the world is a safe place to step forward and enter. And the only way their needs get heard as an infant is either to cry louder and more, or actually, tragically, to go silent. And we know these defense mechanisms build very early, and they're in all of us. Every human walking around this planet, we've learned to protect ourselves psychologically and emotionally with our defenses. They are really important. But what it means is when the going gets too tough, be this for a child at school, what they will do is either withdraw because they have a technique which protects them, which is to become as if disinterested, or they deflect, or they don't turn up for school, or they become the sort of child who just seems switched off, but that is their protection. Or alternatively, you get children who get very leery and angry, and they can be abusive, and they're reacting to protect themselves because they don't feel safe, wanted, met. And for a teacher to know that the best thing they can do is smile at every child and meet their eye contact and be interested in them as an individual, that is a silver bullet. That is a way of showing that you want to be around them. There's nothing children want more than to feel liked and likeable, and it's the same for us as adults. So what seems to me to be key is the adults that are in the schools as teachers, but also how they're treated. How do you get from going home at night exhausted and back into a school where you feel really that you're being pushed to your limits by both the school's needs and the children's needs? So the culture of schools also needs to embrace this sense of how do we help people thrive. So the blame culture has yo-yoed between, we've had recently in the press, we've talked about mobile phones, and indeed there is a real difficulty for children navigating a world that is often taking up 80% of their attention through a digital world, which is press button. And it does mean that their capacity to be patient, to learn, to relate, their time that they have socially is limited. It actually means school's more important than ever, because schools have for a long time not allowed phones in the classroom. And I think what is important is schools are the place where relationships build. We also know from data that building the social emotional learning of children is the foundation to other forms of more formal learning. And so in a primary school, we've built in some capacity for teaching self-regulation to children. That is, giving them the language to express how they feel, giving them some strategies to moderate the emotions that come up, making them feel empowered that they can bring themselves back into a sense of safety and curiosity. But in the bigger schools, the size of most secondary schools these days is massive, and it's beyond actually what we know humans optimally function in terms of social grouping. So schools creating a sense of belonging and breaking down those structures of the larger learning environment, making it feel less like factory learning. A lot of children I speak to feel they're a cog in a wheel. And there's a thing that teenagers need is some sense of control to feel that their voice has some impact. And we're not saying children rule the roost, but what has happened is that I think as the rule-based learning, as schools have become more understandably anxious about the levels of violence that are erupting in schools, or the levels of disrespect, as it's put, those rules have become more and more draconian in some of the schools. And the children that come to Jamie's Farm, we've had over 13,000 children through Jamie's Farm who are not thriving, who would be mostly deemed to not be able to self-regulate in school, demonstrate that actually it is not rocket science to help them get to a place where they feel calmer, where they feel valued, where they feel motivated, where they feel kind, where they dare to reach out to each other, where they express themselves more authentically. And yes, we have got the benefit of a different environment, a fresh start, a group of very dedicated, positive, skilled adults. But those exist in schools if we could give some time. And what's shown is those same children go back into those same schools and families and environments, and they continue to flourish, some of them, because they've built that trust in themselves and in others. So I think that schools, they need their systems, they need to be regulated. And we know that the trouble is that some schools feel that they're being judged by academic standards, which don't allow for an allowance for the fact that it's not a level playing field. What we know so critically now is how different children are in terms of what has gone in to prepare them for school life, for social life. And some children are SEND, and the way their brains are wired is definitely makes life quite tricky for them to navigate the rules and regulations of a large and what can feel quite an impersonal place. We know that children who've slipped in their social confidence have found it hard to go back to school. So schools have to become a place where they're stepping stones back into that larger environment. And some schools are doing brilliantly with this, working with the families and the community and the child and building bridges. We know that children are needing to have some area of excellence, something that they shine at. And working with some of the schools that have an asset-based approach, or they look for the positives, we know how much appreciation builds qualities that are positive. And the more appreciation that you can give teachers and children, the more you can build on a sense of self that will naturally self-regulate. Rules in themselves don't regulate, they might dumb down. And my concern is that when a child leaves school, when they leave, how are they going to motivate themselves to step out and feel that they really want to engage in the world? They really believe they've got something to contribute. They really have confidence they can earn their living, that they can be independent, that they can, even as children tell us here, that most of them have a dream of what they want to create as a family for themselves. So family values also need to come into building that sense of belonging in schools, breaking down the big groupings into smaller groupings that give that child a sense of reference points. One of the difficulties that I think we also sometimes miss is that as adults we talk about the world through a very rational lens, and the way that a lot of teaching structures are built assumes that a child is in that optimal rational place, and a lot of the structures, the behaviour policies, are built on that assumption. And yet what we know is that children's brains are not fully wired in the frontal cortex that governs reasoning. Where they are most active, if you scan a child's brain, you will see the activity is in the emotional centre. And sometimes there is very unregulated, and that those children are firing off the amygdala and they're often flooded with cortisol. And it may be because there is a sense of high alert and hypervigilance. It may be that they're disturbed by simply being in an environment where they feel something's going to be asked of them that they're not up to being able to match. Children so easily feel a sense of failure, and you know, how many of us as adults do too? If we are thought to be not good enough, we then tell ourselves often it's not worth trying. So these children, when their brains are being triggered by whether it's the adults around them or the peers, because the other part of their brain that is trying to connect and wire up is the social brain, and that is the part of the child that's building identity. And that is where their need for peer feedback that's positive is so critical. So that when we reason and lecture a child, internally, if you could look at the activity of that child, it'll often be them firing off a series of protective warnings, which might be that they're being derogatory to the teacher. They might be slagging off that teacher in their head or externally. It might be that they are withdrawing to a point that they just go blank and they disregard and they're disinterested. But what we need to do, I think, as adults, is go back to remembering that child that was born, that's intentions were good, but that whose need to be liked and likable, loved and lovable, is the most critical thing. And the thing we can give children is think about structures for safety, for belonging, for building identity, for building self-esteem. And maybe that means we need to go back to valuing a lot of the core curriculum that once was there around the arts and around the creative subjects that enable children to express themselves. Because childhood no longer resembles anything that I remember as a child, or if I think back, where children had the chance most often to have some sense of autonomy and adventure. They would be out building their own social world, their own physical world sometimes. They would be taking risks, which is what their brains need to develop. Hopefully not such risks that they damage themselves or others, but we know that is a risk with teenagers because they don't moderate. But what we do know is that children didn't feel trapped in their rooms. They didn't go home from school and usually stay stuck in their bedroom. And that is the case and the reality for many of our children. And we need to think from the reality of childhood and how it presents now and their needs for play, for physical expression, for a sense of individuality, imagination, and somewhere weave that back in, because schools are the most potent place to grow and craft that. And it's a hell of an ask of teachers, but they need that too. They need the support and the encouragement and the value that they deserve in order to do this. Times have changed, and I think we have to really redesign our priorities within education.